Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Justin Hustle. This is the KNS show. And Jared wanted me to tell you who we are, but it's an existential question. I don't know who any of us are or where any of us are. Tune in today.
What's good, everybody? We are back. It is your boy Gerard and your girl Gabby. Episode 114, Gabby, of the newly renamed K&S Show. Yeah, it's new name, but same air horn. Yeah. Exactly. New name, same air horn. All right, folks, just for some, letting you behind the curtains here. As we grow as a podcast and a show, this is already episode 114. Thank you all for rocking with us. We're so happy to be part of the Count the Dings family with all our friends out there. You know, there are opportunities out there for us to do different things. And, you know, we have to, you know, align ourselves with more friendly language, in the title, not so much necessarily the show, although we don't really curse on the episode. Not that I think about it.
I'm like, it's the motherfucking remix. Yeah,
but you know, when people are looking for brands to do different things, they're like, hey, you know, we have to have shit in the title. And I'm like, well, I mean, so anyway, K&S, which you guys know us and love us. That's who we are. That's why we're here. But be happy for your people. We're out here making moves. So we appreciate it. Thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you. Much appreciated. Thank you very much. So that's what's going on with us. Gabby, judging by the background, that means you are in your apartment streets on the East Coast. How are you?
I got to get back to this virtual background, Jay. You know, like, I don't want people knowing my secrets, or I'll have like a rollout of my sneaker closet printed. So wherever I am in the country, in the world, nobody knows, you know?
We had some challenges last week, guys. I know you missed our faces on video. Your boy definitely screwed up on the settings. It was just like, this is what happens when a lot of traveling happens and all. It was just, things just get crazy. But we're back to normal now. We got our videos going. Everybody's here. Anyway, we talked about holiday releases last episode. You know, where are you at the midpoint of October, right? Where, I mean, Halloween's going to be here in 2 weeks, give or take, right? Just about. So we're at NHL hockey started earlier this week. So I know you were excited about that. Shout out to the Rangers winning their first game.
That's right.
You know, and then NBA starts next week. So by the time you guys hear this, when you guys hear this episode, it will be opening night of the NBA. So yeah, it's exciting. Things are happening. How are you feeling? How are you doing?
I'm living, I'm feeling, I'm doing, you know what I mean? I think that, you know, it's my favorite time of year. Mm-hmm. My favorite month of the year, usually, especially from a sports perspective, is October. Got my nails did to match my two teams. You know what I mean? Actually, three teams, because you can add Giants. This is also Giants blue. It's Knicks blue.
Oh, wait. So are
Rangers blue.
Are we excited now that the Giants are 4-1? Or are you like, all right, this is some fool's goal. This team ain't that good.
We're not talking about the Jets, Jay. I feel like the Giants have, you know what I mean? Like, our biggest Achilles heel was figuring out the last 2 minutes of the game for how many years now? What, like 10 seasons? Mm-hmm. No matter how good we are, I feel like that last 2 minutes is what really has determined who we are. And so watching the game against the Packers in London this last week, it was really beautiful to see the second half when the Giants came alive. Maybe they were a little jet lagged in the first half, but that's okay. You know, I think mm-hmm. we're seeing a lot of promising things. You know, it's funny, I tweeted something this past week about how I was really excited that both New York football teams won. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you the responses I got. You can't like two New York teams. You can't like this. And here's my thing. You know the shirts that say New York versus everybody?
Mm-hmm, correct.
That's where I'm at, except for the Islanders. That's where I don't really fuck with that. But at the end of the day, I would rather a team from my city be in there than like
That's
Boston.
Fair. That's fair.
Jerve, maybe Philly, you know, isn't that Cowboys? You know, I'm going to keep it honest. I love my city. And so even if it's not my team, I'd rather still have it be a team from my market.
Yeah.
I have other teams that I like around the country for different reasons. You know, I'm going to see the Bears and Cowboys in a couple weeks.
The Bears. Wait, do we decide? Are you going to dress up as Dicka? Is that?
I 100% am going to dress up as Dicka. I'm like one of those girls that's like, most girls on Halloween and then other girls on Halloween. That's going
to
be me.
Shout out to me, girls.
Mm-hmm. My mustache has been ordered. You know, I already got the sweater on the way. I got my khakis ready, dusted off from my game ops days. It's going to be a vibe, especially because the game is in Texas. So, you know. It's
definitely going to be a vibe. You know,
speaking of Bears.
Speaking of sport, you know, Mets fans, unfortunately, a little sad. You know, rough way to end the season. You know, it's funny because you know me. I'm always like, guys, you know, you don't have to do this with your sports, right? Like, you don't have to, like, you know, deal with this, like, heartache all the time. And growing up a Mets fan, like, I understood that. But, you know, I quit fandom of certain teams because I'm like, I don't need this aggravation in my life. But Gabby, they pulled me back in this season. I was like, oh man, 101 wins in the division, you know, leading it for almost 300 days. I'm like, this is it. And then your two best pitchers in the five most important games of the season could only win once. One time.
Mets gonna Mets, you know what I mean? It was really tough to watch. I know I say that in jest, but like, there was so much promise this season. I think even if you weren't a Mets fan, you were still pulling for the Mets because it was great to watch. It was great baseball. It was like this Cinderella season. And then,
you know, and really, if you watched them this year, they were playing bad baseball for the last month of the season, right? Like, and so that baseball is the kind of sport where that stuff just carries over, right? Like, you know, runners in scoring position, they must have hit like 0.098. Right, like just unable to drive in runs, and again the big aces, the big arms, and Scherzer and DeGrom not being able to get, you know, wins when they need it. So, you know, that's the thing about being a fan. Anyway, you know, we are where we are with all that stuff. You know, I was looking at some sneaker news, and this is something we've heard from Nike before, and I know there's been some chatter about this online. But they put out a little statement or whatever saying there are going to be penalties to resellers and this, that, and the third. And Gabby's already rolling her eyes, like, because I feel like we've heard Nike say this before. Yet I don't think there's a way that they've really been able to slow down or stop resellers. So I don't know. I'm kind of just like, meh, I'll believe it when I see it.
I am really into the whole idea of maybe shutting down some of the bots. I mean, I get it. This is people's livelihood, right? Resale. Mm-hmm. We've had resellers on the show. It is an integral part of the sneaker
no doubt
ecosystem at this point. Mm-hmm. It's like Nike was like, don't be fooled by the bots that I got. And I don't know how much it's going to impact things. Like, you can say a lot of things. Like, I could be like, I am a French model named Gabrielle. But like, that ain't true. You know what I mean? I'm Gabby from the block in Jersey, so.
I'm a French model named Gabby. You know,
I'm like, bleep, 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 you know, that's my French. I don't sure. French, so.
I was going to say, you do not parler français.
Croissant, you know.
Oh, no.
Tennis. But I think merde. It'll be interesting to see. Thank you for that. That means shit, you guys. But it'll be interesting to see how this actually comes to action, right? And I think, you know, there's a lot of talk. This is why people are going nuts, sharing the memes, the graphics, everything that's been going around on Instagram and Twitter. But I am curious to see how it's going to impact things. And I will say, you know, I tend to speak in absolutes. Jay, we were talking about this before we started the show, that I never win on Sneakers app.
Untrue.
Untrue. I rarely win is a better phrase. There but was, yeah. I don't know. In the light of what was going on, all the news, your girl took a W. So
see,
I know this is not a hype pair and this is a women's launch that I've been watching for a while. You know, I love an Air Max 1, but maybe, just maybe, the tides, they are changing a little bit and gives people a chance to have an option to buy at retail. And like I said, I'm still going to shop resale, especially if it's something I want. Like, that's not going away.
Of course, of course.
People, I hope, know that when they see all the stuff that's going on on social, right? Resale, again, is an integral part of sneaker culture today.
No doubt.
But I'm curious to see how Nike tends to block some of the shenanigans that are happening.
And I want to be clear, right? When I say Nike cracking on resellers, like, right, it's specifically aimed at like the bots, right? That are buying up, you know, 25, 30 pairs of sneakers. And again, I'm not, you know, resellers who actually this is their business. And like, although people with bots can claim, well, this is my business too. But the people who actually are in this to be in it and aren't just gouging straight capitalism and doing 10x, 15x, I would like to see something being done about that piece of it, right? Because that is where you have the issues. And maybe it might increase some opportunities for everybody else to get their hands on some exclusive pairs.
I'm going to sound like an old lady by saying this, but you know what it kind of reminds me of? Remember like back in the day with like Napster and LimeWire? Mm-hmm. And they were like, if you downloaded a pirated song or like a copyrighted song, they were coming for you. And everyone knew someone who knew someone that Napster came after. Like, I want to know if this is going to be that next generation of that, because I think here's the thing, right? Like, sure, these are people's livelihoods and businesses, 100%. I think you know, bots are what they are. And you're right. People can make the arguments as they do.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that the pendulum is starting to swing back the other way when it comes to sneakers and sneaker resale. Like, I'm getting alerts every other day about things that are at retail prices on resale sites. Mm-hmm. So I know I'm intrigued to see how that's going to be a piece of it as well. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if Nike's doing it in part to control where their inventory is going, right? Like,
versus
some of the secondary stores and markets where some of the inventory is getting shipped to. Like, now that distribution issues and hopefully some of the supply chain issues are like a little bit more regulated now that we're far enough out, like getting sneakers into the hands of the people who are trying to get them, I think should be the priority. So I'm in line with all the things that Nike's saying.
Yeah, and we will see. Again, it's like we've heard talk before, right? We will see what the actions actually dictate, right? So we'll see as this rolls out what it looks like 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year from now. If it's the same old thing every Saturday morning on Sneakers App, then we know, all right, this is just BS and nothing's changing. Anyway, folks, stay tuned because coming up next, we have a special guest, a creative director, somebody that's into sneakers. Looking forward to this conversation. So everybody stay tuned. Gabby, we are back and we're not alone. We are joined by a creative director, a photographer. Now, your Instagram handle says Justin Hustle. Now, listen, if Hustle is in fact your last name, your government name, we'll roll with that. If you don't want to say your government name, that's fine too. Justin Hustle, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Jared, thank you. What a tremendous introduction. I'm glad we didn't use the word entrepreneur or multi-hyphenate in there or any other thing. Technically, I've creatively gone by Justin Hustle now longer than I've gone by my government name, and I get checks made out to it. So
there we go.
Just keep that popping.
So Justin Hustle is what it is. That's it. No further questions asked. Well, thank you for joining us. You know, we heard off air that, you know, you had a little bit of a tight timeline getting here, but you made it. You signed in a minute early. No problems. Everything good in the household. Everybody happy. Happy life. Happy wife. You know, that's I hear that works.
You know, it's a good balance. As long as Sarah's happy in the other room and nothing gets thrown at me during this, we're doing great.
We're doing great. Well, Justin, seriously, thank you for joining us. And, you know, I kind of want to start here. Oftentimes when we have guests, you know, their jobs and what they do sound super interesting and cool to our listeners. And of course it is. And everybody sees, you know, if they scroll through perhaps maybe your Instagram grid, they're like, oh man, this guy's living the life. Blah, 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 blah. And it's like, I always tell people, I'm like, well, we know that Instagram is everyone's highlight reel, right? Like, we don't put the hours of like, oh, I'm going to be 5 hours late to this thing. Oh, crap. I've been up till since 3 a.m. working on whatever. But talk to me about how you got started in the creative process and photography. Where did this all begin?
Wow. Okay. So the origin story. All mm-hmm. right. I actually started taking photos at like 7 years old because my grandpa was a professional photographer in the military. And then he worked with a bunch of like prominent things in Ohio, basically. And so at a young age, I was always around him taking photos, whether I was in them or he was showing me how to do it. And I'm old, so this is film photography. This isn't digital cameras or anything.
You had a dark room and everything?
Yeah, he didn't have a dark room, but I have developed my own, and I know how to do that. It's not great. But, I mean, some people love it. It's not for me. I need someone else to develop my film in case anything happens. I need to blame somebody else. But so I grew up watching my grandpa take photos for other people, and I was always interested in it. And I have like a BMX and skate background. So like I was always out just doing stupid stuff, taking photos, eventually taking video of my friends, doing all kinds of stuff. Had friends in bands and, you know, was just like basically trying to figure out what I was trying to do with this somewhat skill set that I was developing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I took photography like 8 times when I was in high school as an elective. They kept having to add it like as like an independent study because you can really only take it twice, but I wasn't interested in taking other things. And so thankfully I went to a school that was able to like nurture that for me. And then when I went away to college, like my main focus was there was no film program at the school I went to. So I took English and I was taking all the film and photography electives. Mm-hmm. Eventually I got accepted into a film school in California. I moved to LA without thinking about what I was actually doing. Went to film school in LA. And then immediately was working with the Universal Music Group on like music videos and stuff. So that happened for a while. I moved back to Ohio and stopped taking photos for a long time. I was like burnt out, didn't really have like any direction towards what I wanted to do or anything. And a friend of mine started a clothing store here. And because I do graphic design and stuff and I was making websites and that's three people's jobs and he couldn't pay three people to do it. I was like, oh, cool, I can do all of this. And that's sort of what got me back into photography and graphic design.
That's awesome, man. So let's go back to, you know, high school and the eight times you took film or photography as an elective. No. But it makes sense because even at that age as a teenager, you knew what you liked and what you didn't like. Right. And I think, you know, for people, what's really important, as much as it's as important as it is to know what you like, it's important to know what you don't like, right? And clearly you were like, no, I'm not doing this whole math and science thing. No, not really into that.
It's funny that you say that. Because like, so I was in honors English and all that kind of stuff. And I took the required one math class, took the required one science class, took, you know, Spanish, took like other classes that were interesting. I took woodshop and photography every semester from ninth grade until I graduated high school.
That's amazing, though, to have a place that like really lets you be creative and cultivate that. I think more schools should offer that.
I was always getting in trouble, though, and they basically were like, whatever is going to keep this kid from burning the school down or getting fights every day,
send him there.
Like, they were calling my parents into school. My dad would show up, and the principal was literally like, he's going to work at a gas station. Like just, he should drop out now. Like these were the kinds of like encouragements I was getting.
Yeah, it's terrible.
On that side of things. Wow. And then my photography teacher was going in and basically going, yeah, he said he wants to take it again. Let him take it again. Yeah. And like, I was winning like awards and stuff. And the principal is saying, go work at the BP down the street.
And you know, Justin, as just as a side tangent, and Gabby, you can jump in on this too. The current system and setup for public school education for children is so poor, really. And it doesn't allow.
My wife is throwing a book up in the air that she's reading about it right now.
it doesn't give the opportunity for kids who don't want to do those things, other things, right? Think about it. When public school was created, the way that it goes back to the way the rows are set up and everything, right? You get 30 kids in a class. The system was set up because of the 30 kids, 24 would go into some kind of manual labor, farming, whatever, right? You'd have like one doctor in the class, right? There are millions of job possibilities now. Yet the model that we use to teach kids still use that same old 24 of you are going to be. Meanwhile, there can't be 24 fucking farmers. That's not a thing.
So this book my wife is showing me is called The End of Average, and it's literally about what you're talking about. And so for me, I actually, a couple of years ago, I taught photography at a charter school as like a reward to students that showed interest in photography that were like better behaved. And this was a school for, you know, kids from like really bad situations, like underprivileged or like non-existent parents. Some might have even been in foster care. And like I was coming in there once a week to teach them about photography because for me, art exists anywhere.
Yes.
Photography sort of has the lowest barrier of entry. You can go to your local drugstore, Walmart, and buy a disposable camera, and you're in the game that quick. It doesn't have to be a $20,000 Red camera. And with having an iPhone, the joke is for photographers that everybody's a photographer now, but that's actually better. Like I want to see what you're seeing. We can take the exact same picture with the exact same equipment and get different results. Mm-hmm. Because my, you know, perspective or angle or whatever is going to be different.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
I think cultivating that creativity too is so important, whether it's for therapeutic purposes or it's hobby or it's talent or a combination of all those things. I think, you know, Dredd, you hit the nail on the head is that jobs are so different these days. Like even when I went to college, I had one PR class.
Right.
Social media wasn't a thing. Do not do the math on how old that makes me. But like, you know, we had Facebook when I was in college and that was it, you know?
We didn't have Facebook when I was in college.
And to see, but like to see how things have evolved, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm really glad that, you know, I learned about trigonometry to really help my career.
I was going to say, it really helps you doing what you're doing right now.
You know, it's like, but cool. You didn't teach me. I had a teacher in econ who taught me about IRAs and taxes. And I felt like I was already ahead of other people because at least right. I had some kind of like life skill.
Right.
And
right.
Knowledge. But like, we have to go outside of the norm. Definitely want to yes. check out that book, End of Average. I think that sounds fascinating. And that's, our culture is so bespoke and different. And there's so
put
many.
The Amazon link right here. We might get an affiliate.
Click on bio. Purchase. Add straight to cart.
There you go.
Thank you, Amazon Prime.
So it's great. Like this stuff is so important. And, you know, Justin, you surrounded yourself because you said, you know, you're doing art, you're doing photography, you're doing woodwork, you have friends in bands, you're into BMX. You were always around people that had a similar sort of thought process.
It's not as assimilated as you would think, though. So, like, I'm from a smaller suburb in Cleveland where, like, I was the weird
Shaker kid. Heights?
Near, next door.
See, look at that. See, you don't know about my geography skills, Gabby. You think I don't know? I know lots of stuff.
So when I was growing up, I was the kid that was wearing like Jordans and Levi's and Stussy shirts to school that I still have in my closet, much to my wife's chagrin. And like kids were like, yo, you dress so weird. But every year when they do best dress, like I'm on this list because I look right. different than all these kids in their Abercrombie and polo and everything else. So yeah, it's like,
Abercrombie.
Bro, there's an Abercrombie
did you
store.
Just shout out to Abercrombie.
I did because I mean we all wore an Abercrombie thing.
They
once.
Just closed the store at the mall that I can see out my front door. That every kid that I know growing up bought their entire wardrobe from, and I was like, why are you buying that?
I mean, I used to work at Abercrombie. I was like, I mean, you know, it's
topless dude, I mean, right there.
I feel bad for whatever business is going in that space because you know that cologne scent is going to be lingering for whoever.
I think I honestly think it's like a massage parlor now, so it probably fits the vibe.
So the funny thing about Abercrombie is, as Justin probably knows, because I'm assuming Justin, we're around the same age. I'm 43, so we're probably close in age.
You are 1 year older than me, pal.
Okay. So Abercrombie went through a very much a transition and a shift, right? When I was working there, it was before it got heavy on the cologne and the naked. It was just starting to transition. Because remember, Abercrombie and Fitch before that was like a very outdoorsy, a different vibe. Yeah, very different vibe.
Yeah. I swear on everything. I might have owned one Abercrombie shirt somebody bought me as a gift.
And you're like, I hate this shit.
I'm going to shout my mom out here, which I hardly ever do. I was very blessed that my mom was a manager at Saks. So when I was growing up.
You got the hot shit.
Bro, we were kitted. And so my family comes from like a sporting goods manufacturing background. So all of my dad's accounts, also Jordan, also Nike.
You had
so
all the fresh gear.
They put, so yeah, they're like super fresh. Cleveland didn't even know what hit.
You were flossing.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like it was all I had were like I was gonna bring out really old crappy shoes for this, but I didn't want to dig in the closet. I have like my original Air Max 95s are sitting in the closet.
Love it, love it, so love it.
I brought a newer pair for that section of this. But what I'm saying is, all these kids were like, yo, why are you wearing that? And meanwhile, my dad's
like, why aren't you wearing this?
My dad's best friend was the national sales manager, a starter. And we used to go to the factory in Connecticut and I would come home with every jacket and sell them to the kids at school. So that's literally how
where the hustle started.
That's kind of where that started at. In seventh grade, the principal would be calling going, you know, Justin's selling starter hats at school. And they'd be like, is he breaking any rules? They're like, no, we just wanted you to know. He's like, we know. Like,
we know. It's good.
Who do you think drove him?
Amazing. Well, yeah. Justin, I want to go into the starter stuff. So did you also come back with like multiple starter jackets, like all the different kinds?
I had. Okay. So we come from the generation where you root for players and not teams.
Yeah.
I had every Bulls starter coat they made zip up and pull over. I had the Packers. I had the Raiders. I wanted to dress like I was in an NWA video, basically.
So this is my point, right? So Justin, because of his dad's connections, because you know, like for starter, like it, in still the way it works now, all this stuff is regional. So if you live in New York, you're getting mostly the New
like
York.
Like Modell's is not about to have the Fire Raiders jacket.
Exactly. Because you don't live in LA, right? But you would come in and be like, yo, where'd you get that cheap shit? You're like, don't worry about all that, my friend.
Bro, I would come in with like the the button down short sleeve Oakland Athletics baseball jersey on. Like, it was, and that, so that pushed me into like the sportswear side of things,
yeah, for this,
because everything can't be, you know, like Paolo Peralta tees all day long. But like, my dad, if he was here, he'd be cracking up. I used to still have all my starter jackets until, yeah, my wife and I moved in together, and then she was like, "You got to get this shit out of here. Like, what are you doing?
I'm throwing this shit out."
I sold it to,
that's like a relic.
I sold my Chicago Bulls starter coat to a friend of mine who's a pretty famous artist and DJ, Terry Urban, and he wore it out to a party that we used to do called I Got Five on it, put it down, and somebody stole it. It was gone the first night. It looked
nice.
It had been in my possession since I was 12 years old, and this man lost it in one evening.
Literally put five on it.
They're like,
yeah. shout out to Looney's, by the way. I got five on it. You know, this is, I'm loving the direction of this conversation. All right, man. So you're out in LA. You go to film school. You're doing your thing out there, but you're getting the music videos. What are some of the bands and artists you're doing work with?
I don't really want to name drop stuff.
Come on. Nope. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. We're here.
You just got to look up Universal Music Group. There might be one called the Good Charlotte that was in there. And
yeah, of course we know Good Charlotte. Of course we know about Good Charlotte.
It's about Good Charlotte.
I know. I mean, I know you know what it is. You know, who doesn't know? Shout out to the twins. But yeah, I mean, I worked on a bunch of stuff for Guns N' Roses that never came out. And that sort of was like my burnout period on it. Because it was like around the time of their first like reunion. And
yeah,
I was like, yeah, this is
not for me.
No. And then, so unfortunately in that like time area, my mom got sick. So I had to move back to Ohio because I have younger siblings, but like, it just was a weird time period too. Like the time that I lived in LA was kind of like, we were moving into like a lot of the internet age for stuff. And it didn't necessarily feel, the LA I moved to changed in the 18 months that I lived there into like a different place.
Yeah.
Like I remember coming home to visit and gas was $1.30 here.
And you were like, what the hell?
Yeah. People were complaining it's high. And I'm like, yo, it's $4 in LA.
Right.
And they're like, how do you pay for anything? I'm like, I eat Subway twice a day and I sleep in the office because it costs too much money to go home. So it was like that kind of a vibe.
Back.
The Subway affiliate link at the bottom of it.
No Subway. No Subway. We're not letting them get any cheat.
Eat fresh. We're not eating yoga mat material in our Subway. Come on now. No, we're not. We're not doing that. No, but it's so interesting you say that because so much of this work and how things work out for people is about timing, right? So in many ways, you were maybe like 18 months, 2 years too early, right? Because Universal probably wasn't on that. Like, clearly they weren't jumping on the internet age. Like, no, we got to keep all this. We got to keep vinyl and CDs. Like,
so the big battle that I faced when I was there was I got my job because, so this ties into graphic design and might give us a good segue. I got a job there because friends of mine had a band that were signed to Universal and they were dropping their own DVD and they couldn't get the titles right in the early like Adobe Premiere that they were using. So I handed all the titles in Photoshop and then batched them out and imported them into their video. And like Universal was like, who did this? They were like, get him. I didn't even graduate film school yet.
Right. They're like, we need him.
Right. And the dude, one of the dudes I went to film school with wrote like the Bruce Almighty movie.
Nice.
Like with Jim Carrey. Mm-hmm. So like he went there, he wrote that movie and he went there to learn how to like direct and stuff. Cause he wanted to control more of the movies. And he was like, how did you just get a job at Universal? And I showed him and he was like, how did you do that?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I was like, you go in Photoshop and you do that. And they didn't have a clue because the original Photoshop is really like getting a cool piece of like media, scanning it, cutting out elements, tracing that. Like I was doing all this stuff by hand that they didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
And every day was a battle. Like every conversation was a battle.
Yeah.
They were like, here, use this super old Apple Mac with Final Cut 1.0. Nope. And I'm like, I'll just go home and do my job. Like I have a really nice dual monitor set up at home with Premiere. We're running, you know, like a 280 gigs of RAM. You know, like, what's RAM?
What is RAM? By the way, shout out to Adobe Premiere. Click the link at the bottom. If Adobe wants to sponsor me, I am down with that.
Yeah,
all right.
I need a discount on the creative.
Thank you. As do I. So please, by all means, Adobe, we're fully willing for that. No,
affiliated for that.
I am loving this conversation, Gabby, just because it's like this is sort of the journey, right? Like you you're one step ahead in many ways, everything, right? You're early on the wave. And I imagine working in a place like Universal, which anybody who worked for a large corporation knows, you have to ask 75 permissions to get a stapler, right? I mean, it's just, that's how these places work. And when you're a creative, I don't have time for that shit, bro.
Ask for
like
forgiveness. That's what right, you do.
Always. Mm-hmm. Yes. Much easier to ask for forgiveness.
Expense checks.
Or that expense.
And they'd be like, yo, you rented a Suburban for 2 weeks and it needs a new transmission. I'd be like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, don't worry.
We have
it's fine.
Insurance.
It's fine. Don't worry. It's fine.
It'll buff out.
We have insurance.
It'll buff out.
That's why a lot of these fields like have younger talent for that reason, because you know they will work you yeah. because they know that you have the latest knowledge and technology.
Wait. You have the drive and the hustle. See what I did there?
Well, it's also – people now with the younger generation, they just swapped a lot of that to paying for exposure.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like it's like, hey, but we're going to tag you on Instagram. You can't believe – I've shot for Nike. I've shot for Beats by Dre. You can't believe how many people are like, yo, can you do this photo shoot? And I'm sure this is the rate. And then they disappear. And I'm like, okay, like, does the rate not work? And they're like, oh, we were thinking like we could give you like some clothes and like some.
You're like, I'm a little like, past that stage.
I gotta pay the rent, my friend. We got a mortgage. Like, my wife be likes like,
fancy stuff, guys.
Nike
like, this ain't gonna work.
Yeah.
And I like even fancier stuff than her.
You're like.
You looked at her while you said that too. By the way, you're like.
She's glaring at me right now.
You're also like.
Okay, I like fancy stuff too. So
oh, I mean, bad. Listen, I am the bougiest person ever. Look, here's the thing.
I'm a bad bitch, okay? you don't get this way by liking basic stuff.
Exactly. But here's the thing. It's like, oh no, I'm down with the free clothes and shoes in addition to T-O-O, nope. The money, right?
I won't take any.
Gerard is free 99 if I had to.
I won't take anything. I won't take anything free in a work situation because then they think that supplants paying me. If they want to give me something after they pay me, we can talk about
it. Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, pay me and then give me free.
But why? I don't even entertain the idea. I'm just like, look, this is how much I want to get paid to do this. If I decide that I want to get paid less to do something, that's my decision. Well, that's the same thing that I do. I hire creatives all the time. Tell me your rate. Your rate's your rate. If I can afford your rate right now, great. We're going to work together. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I can't and I like your work, I'm going to bank that idea for later and see how we can work together. I'm not going to ask you to take a discounted rate. If you offer it, we can discuss it. But I'm going to be like, you want $500 an hour? I got $125. Who does that help?
Know your worth, people. No, this is good stuff.
And stick to it. Absolutely.
That's it.
So, you know, you talked about your dad and your Nike was his clients. You were the freshest kid in your
Cleveland. I didn't say I was the freshest
kid. No, you were. It's fine. No. You were. It's fine. We cool with that. You cool with that.
Own I don't it. Need anybody popping up in YouTube comments.
She wasn't that fresh. Y'all full of shit.
They're trying to pull up an image of me one time where they got me out of pocket.
The one Abercrombie shirt makes an appearance.
What?
Bro, I have pictures of my 21st birthday party, and unfortunately, I'm wearing an Abercrombie shirt in it.
See?
You never see those on Throwback Thursday.
I mean, you can Photoshop.
I mean, I'll just own it at this point.
When you talk to me about that first pair of Nikes or Jordans that you rolled into school with, and people were like, all right, we already know Justin's weird or whatever. So that's probably what they were saying because they didn't. But no, that's what they were saying because kids are stupid.
I know exactly 100%. What you
is. You know what I mean? They were like, oh, he's weird. But what was that pair that like they were like, what the?
I have metallic black Jordan 5s. Woo! Like a month or two before they came out because street dates weren't real back then.
Right.
I walked into school and everybody was like, what the hell is that? I'm like, they're Jordans. And they're like, yo, they're fake because Jordan 4s were out right then.
And you're like, nah,
what
son.
What are you talking about? I'm like, they're just not out yet. And everybody called me a liar for like months. And then when they came out, they were like, oh, never mind.
You're like, yeah, see?
I'm like, you guys are dupes. But like, I've always gravitate. Air Max 95 is by far my favorite silhouette of shoe.
Love that.
And I always gravitate. When that shoe first came out, I was like, dad, they're 160. And he was like, I'm not buying those. I'm like, just call somebody.
Okay? Call someone.
Like, make something
like,
shake.
I didn't ask you to buy them for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I'm like, I didn't say money. I said finesse somebody. Like, make something shake you. Like, what are you talking about? And he wouldn't do it because Jordans were like $100 then.
Right.
And like, I remember Air Max 95 was like the most expensive shoe they ever had.
Yeah.
And so I got my pair because my homie worked at Foot Locker. And like, I don't know how he made it happen. I just got my pair.
Listen,
they arrived in my size and I wore them to death. Like the sole is falling off them. like, you know how they have those little individual treads on there? There's like three missing. Mm-hmm. I might put them on tomorrow. I don't really even know.
It was a different time, man. It was a different time. You said street dates didn't exist. That wasn't a thing.
No, like, it wasn't a thing.
You got the hookup. You knew somebody. That's how you got your stuff. You drove like six towns over because you knew no one buys these shoes over here. And you got what you needed.
Luckily, where we live, there's like there used to be like 10 malls. And so there was a really famous mall here called Randall Park Mall. It used to be the biggest mall in the United States. They had like a Ferris wheel in the center of it. It was like from the 70s when big malls were a thing. And it also happened to be like in the most urban area. Mm-hmm. I always went there to get shoes because they always had the best shoes. Mm-hmm. I would get Air Force Ones out of there that nobody else had seen, like all white with a camo swoosh and the camo heel tab. You're like, what is this? I'm like, oh, I got him at Randall. They're like, you went to Randall Mall? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, man.
I learned my lesson one time because our homie's car got stolen out of the parking lot when we went there. So like, we just made sure that we went at the right time.
Hey, but listen, as you get older and you recognize what the game is, you do what you have to do to get what you need, right?
Like, take those up like, during the daytime instead of
that. I'm pretty sure you could Google when Cool Gray 11s came out, there was like riots in that mall for that shoe. And thankfully, I never liked the Jordan 11, so I was not there for that.
So, so that's an interesting. So, Jordan 11, not a favorite silhouette of yours.
Unpopular opinion.
No.
I don't like Jordan 5s anymore as a grown adult. I think they make you look like a Japanimation cartoon kind of a little bit. Like,
that's like exactly why I do like them.
That's cool.
Feel like I'm like Fat Man Code.
That works for like when you wear like leggings or something and like a big baggy shirt and like that works. Sometimes I wear real baggy pants and then they look real funny. So for me growing up, my favorite Jordan was a 5. Mm-hmm. And that's like where I lived in Jordans. I liked 4s and I liked 3s. And I was too young to really ever have 1s that I recall. Cause I think my dad was getting me like Cortezes as a little kid then type of thing.
Yeah.
But once Jordan 7s came out, I didn't like them anymore. Cause they didn't have an air pocket in my head. I was like, this shoe isn't as cool. And I've never really owned any Jordans after I had a pair of Bred 11s. I had them for like a week. I'm like, this isn't for me. And like, other than that, I've never had a 7. I've never had an 8. I've never had a 9. Like none of that. I've never was into them.
So you're really old school.
My absolute favorite, like everybody else, but I liked them way before.
But they're just so good. Yeah. Obviously.
No. I love that. I love your, like, no, it's good because then you're really talking about somebody who, I like what I like. And these are the reasons why versus, oh no, this new hype pair of 11s came out. You're like, that's fine. 11s aren't for me. So you guys go nuts.
Yeah, I don't. I've had one pair of Bred 11 and I was like, nope. And like, so for me, I actually used to like 4s more than I do now. Mm-hmm. So now for me, it's like,
I love a 4. So
I'm a 1 and a 3 guy now.
3s are, I mean, 3s are, that's my jam.
When I was a kid, so I was a terrorist. When I was a kid, I used to take the back tabs of my 4s and cut them off because I didn't like how it would dig into my heel or like into like my ankle. Mm-hmm. So like, I was like, I don't like this. So as I got older, I was like, oh, wait, that is really stupid. Why am I doing that? But like still, like I can't wear Jordan 4s with shorts because like if I have a shorter sock on, it drives me nuts.
Yeah.
I'm so OCD with certain stuff like that. And like my black cement 3s, like not the new ones, but like the old
originals,
ones. Yeah, like the tabs are falling off the back and I'm sad about it. And I'm in my head, I'm like, you dummy, you used to pull these things off shoes when they were brand new. But I also was a kid that put brand new shoes on the day they came out and jumped in like a mud puddle or like messed them up because I was like, I'm like, it's going to happen anyway.
Yeah, it's a different time. Yeah. It's a different time. No, that it's so funny. No, this is you're really getting into right. This, the folks, this is what the nuances, but what it's like when you're young growing up in this, right? Versus like now, you spend $300 on like a pair. You're like, hell no, I ain't going outside in the rain in these things.
Like, and you see the 15-year-olds at Sneaker Con with like their parents behind them. They got stacks of cash being like, what you got for those Mocha Ones? I got these 3s. I got this wheeling and dealing. Like they look at it almost like a possession versus like when you're a kid, I want to put on my sneakers. I want to run in them. I want to be
out in them. Yeah. That's my big gripe with sneaker culture right now is that everyone can pay. You can pay for access. Mm-hmm. So I come from the, I used to ride with my friend's dad or my dad to Supreme in New York and stand outside all day long to get stuff. Mm-hmm. They didn't even have a website when I was getting stuff. Mm-hmm. I come from going to A-Life when Stali used to work there. That's how I met him and like knowing him and getting stuff that way, because you weren't getting stuff that was cool if you didn't know somebody.
Right.
Some of the shoes that like I'm going to show you, you couldn't, like some of these pairs you have to know somebody to get, type of thing.
Yep.
But like now you can just buy them.
Yep.
Like you can just get on StockX and Klarna anything you want, wear it once. Like people get a shoe, wear it once, get that fit off on the gram, sell it, make back most of their money. And like that's what the game is. That's not the game to me. That's never been the game to me. And like shoes, clothes are meant to be worn. You know what I mean? If you treat things right, they'll last a long
time. Correct.
But also some people only got one pair of shoes. Like let them wear that one cool pair of shoes, beat them to death and get a new pair. Like beat the shoe to death. I don't want that to sound like, but like that's okay. I have way too many pairs of shoes. My wife will be screaming in the background right now. There's too much stuff. And like some shoes, I was going to bring a shoe that really is like a pointless shoe, but means something personally to me.
Oh, we like that.
Oh, we love that. Yeah.
Maybe it'll be a bonus pair. But like what I'm saying is like, most shoes need to have a story to it. If it's just because it's cool, I don't really care anymore. Like if it's, and that's part of the reason why Yeezys don't really get any play with me, because I don't want to wear the same shoe as a 12-year-old kid and look like I'm an adult trying to look like a kid. Like it's a little, like I see dudes at the gym lifting in foam runners. I'm like, bro, put on a pair of workout shoes. What are you doing?
I mean, I don't,
like you make no sense right now.
That when you said that, Justin, about looking like a 12-year-old kid, remind me of the Steve Buscemi thing. Hello, fellow kids.
Bro, that, my biggest fear, honestly, my biggest fear is that one day someone's going to be like, yo, why do we buy t-shirts this old guy makes? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, or like, why do we care about anything that is he's involved or whatever?
Yeah.
And I think
that's
everybody's fear at some age, because eventually, like Dapper Dan looks amazing. Right. And he's wearing all his creations.
Right.
And he kind of looks the same in an elevated and elegant like kind of way. But like there are also people that you see like, oh, you just got some money and you went to the Amiri store and copped a whole fit and you look ridiculous. You just don't, or like, oh, you got some money and you went to ALD and just were like, kit me out. You know, like you gotta, I'm careful with what Supreme stuff I wear now because like sometimes you wear, I'll wear a Supreme thing to a restaurant and I get the worst service ever because the kid just wants to be my homie and talk to me about clothes and stuff. Like, no, bro, just go, like, let's make this meal happen. Like, what are you doing? Like, we're just because you know about something I'm wearing doesn't all of a sudden make us like best friends.
Bro, get that bolognese going. I don't got time for this conversation.
Justin, like, please bring me my croissants. Like, what is happening? Like my wife does not want to hear you ask me about what my favorite Supreme silhouette is and why it was designed by Brendan and not designed by Tremaine. And I'm
Your wife's like, I am leaving right now.
My wife's like, please don't buy me any hype gear. Like, I don't need any hype gear. Please stop.
But I think that's the thing, right? Is it's now we're in a culture where everything is expendable, it's disposable. You want it for the picture. Yeah. I think when Justin, when you and I first talked, you were like, everyone now doesn't even need to buy shit. They can go. In a fitting room and be like, yo, check out my haul. I'm at the Supreme. Well, not at the Supreme store because you don't do all the things there, but you know what I mean? It's like you can go anywhere.
I've tried a shirt on in the Supreme store before. And I've been allowed to do that.
I was gonna say, I didn't think that was allowed, but
I did that.
And then just, picks if it didn't happen, and then they don't even buy it, or to your point, like they'll buy it, try it on, resell it on any of the different platforms.
Like, I want those Gucci monogram pants so bad, but I am not spending $1,100 on pants.
No,
I need Gucci Adidas. If there are any boosters in here right now, hit my link and just like, set me up. Like, if I can't get that pant on a Finesse, there's no way.
As you all know, the Finesse is the way Gerard likes to get all his gear. Listen. That's how rich people stay rich. You think they buy anything they have? Hell no. That shit gets given to them for free.
Bro,
it's that's all what I'm trying to do.
SponCon, like, get out of here.
All right, Justin, this is dope, man. But guys, stay tuned because coming up next is America's favorite segment, Shoe and Tell, presented by Another Lane, the premier digital marketplace for dope kicks. You already heard Justin dropping some hints about what he's trying to show us. So stay tuned because I have a feeling what's coming up next is going to be stuff that's like important and means something for him.
It's so all stay tuned. Gets.
What's good, everybody? We are back. It's America's favorite segment, Shoe and Tell, presented by Another Lane, the premier digital marketplace for dope kicks. Look, every time this segment comes on, I tell you guys, Chad and Adina, you got to check out Sneaker Galactus. Anybody with the name Sneaker Galactus, you know you're going to learn a lot about sneakers. This guy is an OG sneakerhead. And if you want to get that ultra, ultra rare pair, Chad will take planes, trains, and automobiles to get to whatever, boats, doesn't matter, to get whatever you need. He's done it all before, so make sure you guys head over to anotherlane.com. Check that out. All right, Justin, shoe and tell is just like it was in school. This is your show. You show us what you got, tell us why you like it, and we'll go from there.
I might have been cutting that day.
You might have. You might have.
Okay, so my OCD is going to kick in here a little bit, so I'm going to try to do things in an order that makes sense.
All good.
All right.
Ooh. I like the sound effects.
That's a serious stud.
That's not a sound effect, you guys. That's real.
Okay. Amazing. So pair number one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is a gel question.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
New Balance 992. Unfortunately, I missed the... Do I need to hold it up the whole time? I'll hold it up the whole time.
No, you hold it up while you're talking.
Unfortunately, I missed the live release in February at NBA All-Star because I had just got back from Vegas and likely had COVID before COVID was a thing and couldn't make it out there. But also, Joe is one of my closest friends in this industry. I met him in 2009 at Magic in Las Vegas, and we've been close ever since. So when these randomly showed up at my house one day, I have barely ever taken them off. I just went to Vegas this past August for Agenda for some meetings, and I wore them the whole time. Well, I should say Project Agenda is a nothing thing now. But so I want to give my boy some love right off the bat, even though obviously everybody is Team Joe right now. Mm-hmm. Got a new Balance that's strapping right now, so you know.
Love it.
That's a comfortable shoe, too.
It is a very comfortable shoe.
And I was not a New Balance dude whatsoever, and now I have New Balances.
New Balance on the come up, man.
You gotta put it on your feet, and you're like, oh, shit, okay.
We're New Balance people now. Like, I can bring one pair of shoes out of town. I don't care. Like, I bring a pair of gray, you know, 2002s and walk around Disney World for 4 days, and I don't care. And they are cool for some reason.
Isn't that, like, weirdly liberating, right?
Yeah, listen, in the old days, I packed 2 t-shirts and 4 pairs of shoes to go out of town. And now I pack like 17 t-shirts. There's so much more room in the duffel bag. I like having the option choice. Are there questions? Do we want to ask anything about this?
No, you just keep, nope.
I didn't know how this works. You said show and tell.
Yeah, you show and you tell. We just listen.
I might ask you questions, tell. But we're listening. Yeah.
Shoe and tell.
Oh, yeah, we soak it all in. Uh-oh, I see something here.
Mm-hmm. So if you're paying attention before, shoes are here. So if you're paying attention before, I mentioned Air Max 95, sure my did. Favorite silhouette. I think these are a sticker price of 170 now. I believe the original MSRP, if we looked up, is maybe 125. This is about my 10th pair of this colorway. This colorway happens to have been, I think, worn twice now. This is from the most recent release, I think in 2021 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had these with the patches, without the patches. I've had them where the neon doesn't quite match. This seems to be the truest one to the one that I had when it first released. Yeah. And I wish I had 10 pairs of them so that I could wear them every day.
And that's the thing. They changed a little. They changed a little.
They did. And we recently had a mishap with a pair of Air Max 90 Infrareds where I tore the toe box. And thankfully, I had a backup pair. But now I'm terrified to put these on. So these are going to go right back in the closet for this to be seen in 5 years.
He said he's had an issue with the toe box. You know what that made me think of, Gabby?
Uncut Gems. Mm-hmm.
Uncut Gems.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What is it? Uncut Gems?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've seen the movie, but what is the toe box with uncut gems?
It's just, you know, your toe box exploded. I wanted to throw in the uncut gems thing, whatever. It all works.
Any excuse to be like, uncut gems.
You know, he's got a new movie coming out with the Safdie brothers, and they said it's going to be just as intense.
Looking forward to it.
Uncut gems.
Yeah,
well. My wife won't go to New York now because of uncut gems.
Really?
It was too stressful of a movie. If it's that loud, she can't do it. My wife is from a small town, man. She's from, like, she grew up on a farm. Like,
I was going to say, she knows it's really not like that in New York City. She knows that. I thought really what it's like.
She's been to New York City.
It's like around in the Diamond District, though.
Yeah, but ain't nobody, Kevin Garnett ain't running around 35th Street. Like, but that's not, no, that's not how that works.
Nah, he's up on 47th.
All right, next pair.
Oh.
I'm a dunk guy. I love dunks. I love Air Force Ones. I like a nice low top. Because the one thing I don't like is when my pants cover my shoe and people can't, like, listen, you're only seeing this much of the shoe. What I have a whole shoe for. I might as well wear Birkenstocks. These were another pandemic pull-up. I got them from my local skate shop. I happened to be like 2 blocks away from it, and it's like 20 miles away. And they tweeted that they had them, and me and my buddy pulled right up and got them. It was a really cool experience. It felt like, shout out to West Side Skates and Brian, it really felt like getting shoes that were on the shelf, kind of.
Yeah.
Even though when we got there, there was like 8 people already in line because, you know, I'm sure people knew or whatever. But like,
right.
I thought about, you know, like I never had the Air Max Safari from Atmos. So I was like, this is as close as I'm getting to that shoe. And they're great. They're comfortable. SBs tend to be a little bit more comfortable than regular dunks. Mm-hmm. And these ain't no panda dunks. So, you know. They're comfortable wearing these. These get a lot of burn too, though. So
these ain't no panda dunks. I love it.
No, I've never had a panda dunk. Never will.
Cypher, don't get gas. Mm-hmm.
That too. Yep. All the effects today. Yeah.
All right. I got another dunk here for you.
All right. Let's see what we got.
Just do this.
The details on the dunk.
Ooh. Ooh.
So this is the only pair of off-white shoes that I have. I've never been blessed enough to ever hit on sneakers or anybody that loves me take care of
me. Never.
I've hit on sneakers on a lot of stuff, but this is the only off-white I ever hit on before.
He said it. He's hit on, but not on this stuff. No.
I hit on a lot. Listen, I'm thankful. I hit on a lot of stuff. I hit on Ben and Jerry's SBs. Like, I've hit on stuff. I hit on the first Fear of Gods, like whatever those joints are. Those things have long gone out of my life.
Anything hype, I never hit on, Dredd. Is that okay?
I'm allowed to say no. I've definitely hit on stuff on sneakers, but I never hit on any of the Jordans. I never hit on any of the Air Force Ones. I'm always like this close. I think these came in the time period right around when Virgil passed, or like a little bit
like before right that. Before, yep.
And like, I was like, you know, like, I don't love them. But I like what they are. So
yeah.
To me,
and what they stand for, yeah.
Yeah. So to me, this is a shoe to look at and appreciate and understand. Like, there's a lot of nuances to it. There's a lot of, I mean, listen, there's 50 different colorways. Not that many people have these shoes. I really never see people wearing them.
Yeah.
So like, and the whole packaging in the box, everything looks really cool. Like, even the tissue paper looks cool. Like, it's just a great piece. And I love going to Chicago, go to Chicago to kick with the homies all the time. I've never been like a big off-white guy. Like, I don't really buy too many other clothing brands. So for me, it's like a way to be involved with something that like is existing in the orbit around the things that I do. So
makes
like,
sense.
I love that.
I'm into it. But
like an ASMR moment, by the way, with the tissue paper. I was like, ooh.
Look at you, ASMR. Look at you, ASMR. Excited, you know? What do we even do?
All right, so the last pair. You said bring 50 pairs?
No, definitely not.
If this was up to me, I'd be like, bring all the pairs you want.
Yeah, and I'm like, girl, we don't have all night for this.
I'm like, let me go pour another glass of wine.
All right, let's see what we got here.
So this is the last. Hold on. Keep the drum roll. Just getting it ready.
Oh, come on. Oh. Oh!
So, see the back here?
Project. Yep. Yep.
And the detail.
Hold on. There's more details. This is a pair you got to kind of know somebody to get something. And then we'll go over the box after this. So, this is the Brooklyn Project's Nike Dunk SB Low. These came out so long ago. I've never worn them. I'm very blessed, fortunate. I don't like the word blessed. I'm very fortunate that when I started my clothing brand, Another Enemy, Dom from Brooklyn Projects was one of the first accounts that I didn't have a relationship with that reached out and wanted to carry the brand. Maybe a couple weeks after his first shipment, Chris Brown was photographed in Us Weekly wearing one of my shirts with Teyana Taylor. And I was like, oh, this is insanity. And he was always a big, supportive, big brother kind of figure in my life. And when these came out, I happened to be in Vegas for a trade show or something. We drove to LA to kick it for time after that. And I pulled up and he had a pair waiting for me. And the box has a message on the inside. So sometimes I'm known for getting stuff and not being into it and maybe letting it rip on eBay.
Yep. Tag below.
But
I love that.
There's a message on the inside.
Listen,
this is the cover for the entire episode, right?
It's very clear. Very clear. Do not, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And like the tape detail on the box, the outside. I mean, yep. The whole thing is.
Yeah. I mean, it's so this is a cool SB box. This is different than this box, but this is not pink box SB.
That's Tiffany blue versus the rainbow color that actually is like the eBay colors. But
pink SB box was an era. I mean, I used to have. So when we started the clothing store, we didn't have a shoe account, and I would bring in all my shoes to like sell. And they're all like 9s and 9.5. So like really, I'm not servicing that big of a customer.
Very
but, like,
specific customer.
I remember I had T19 Royal Blue Dunk SB highs that I sold. And like this is like my shoes were beat and people were paying $300-$400 because I've never seen these things before. A buddy of mine used to work at SB when in like the early mid 2000s. And back then, they had sample pairs and they would hook the homies up with them. And then they started tracking barcodes. So they like who was getting their stuff out there. But I mean, I had all the Puss Head dunks. I had all the Haze. I had everything. Heineken dunks. I had all that stuff. I had all the like original Supreme SBs. And over time, you know, like I own my own business. And if the checks are low, then the shoes got to go.
I like that.
That's a good motto. I like that.
Justin, man. This has been incredible. Just a combo about just your journey, education. Shout out to your wife who's reading that book about it right now.
Now she's still on Instagram. she's mad at me for saying that.
And then the shoe and tell was great. Tell the people where they could find you, find your work, find another enemy.
So you can find me at Justin Hustle on all available social networks, I believe. Definitely on Instagram and Twitter. Not a big Facebook guy. I loathe even having to get on that website to do any work. And as far as brands go, so another enemy is the same thing, Instagram, Twitter. I also have another brand called The Breaks. So it's The Breaks on Instagram and The Breaks 1980 on Twitter and Facebook. For a second, I'm going to plug The Breaks. So this week on Monday for World Mental Health Day, The Breaks did a collection to raise money and donate to the Jed Foundation in partnership with Mental Sesh, which is Liz Beecroft's.
Shout out to the homie Liz Beecroft.
Yep. So we have a collection that's on there for the next couple of weeks. A portion of sales will be donated from that. So that's live right now. People can go on there and support that. And for me, honestly, support is as simple as like liking something, sharing something. It doesn't necessarily have to be dollars. In today's day and age, Facebook wants me to spend $15,000 a month on advertising for people that already like my stuff to see it. Yeah. So to share things literally has a value equated to it 100%. Versus you don't always have to buy stuff. Like, listen, Breaks Tea start at $48. Maybe that's too expensive for you. Mm-hmm. Cool. Like the page and hang around. Maybe something will go on sale.
Right, right. That's awesome, man. I'm loving what you're doing. Much success to you. Hopefully one of these days we can meet up IRL, as Gabby likes to say.
I don't need bro.
Well, it's funny. We're very similar. I'm like, Gabby. I'm like, what? You want to meet where? I'm not going anywhere.
I need to go where for what? Like, what's the check look like?
Although you're in Vegas a lot, so that might have to be the meeting spot.
Well, so this could be a good time to ask the viewers. Should my wife and I relocate to Vegas? We're on the fence.
Well, Gabby's going to say yes. We're going to offline about that, but Gabby's voting yes. But folks,
are you voting yes, Jared?